Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Hello, Max Rushton here.
Yes, Max alongside me once again this afternoon. We had another go at Cruyff or Binny, the quiz show they're all talking about.
Oh yeah, I don't know about you, Paul. I felt it was I thought it raised the bar further. But I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. We may even keep doing it. Who knows? We spoke to a guy called Joe Parton, who's gone viral with a quite fantastic idea, as you'll discover. And on a more serious note, Lenny Jonrose joined us, the former Bury, Burnley and Swansea midfielder. Lenny was diagnosed with motor neuron disease about 3 years ago. His book, Finding a Way, is an absolute inspiration, and you'll hear from him as well. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Oh, yeah, good afternoon, Paul. I watched yesterday's football, and it's the Andy Jacobs role is to sort of discuss the things you saw from it. Do you think that whoever gets put up Monday at 5:30 sort of takes it as quite a personal insult?
Well, they should do, because it's been games generally that have not been, as Stuart Pearce would say, that glamourable.
No, they're not glamourable. No. They're definitely not glamourable, but they're also bad.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a good one. And you wonder if it's because the players feel it's such an affront to them.
Yeah, it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. Whatever gets put there is rubbish.
But surely the two managers should say, you know, they've put you on at this time, go and show them. Yeah. Go and show them you're better than 5 o'clock on a Monday night.
They should pin up the email.
I don't know who that is, but that's Roy Hodgson. I'm not very good at impressions.
It's Roy and Sean Dyche together, isn't it? It's a mixture of the two.
That's what it would be like, a very gruff, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So that game was poor, wasn't it?
Apart from Nick Pope, who kept them in the game with two cracking saves. It wasn't a stunner.
No, I feel for Christian Benteke, don't you?
As much as I do any man who earns £30,000 a week, probably that's
doing,
on a bad week, of course.
Doing nothing.
50 grand a week.
Do you not have any sympathy for Benteke?
No, there's a very good player there, and in flashes he shows it. I don't know what it is. I'm sure enough managers and people have put an arm around him and trying to get him to play like he did at Villa. And you see it in pockets. Last time, there was a little period last season, you thought, well, he's back. He's back, and then he's slightly dwindled again. But he's a very good player. He proved it, I think.
I mean, he looked sour. Pope made a really good save, didn't he? That's quite instinctive. But then he was in the 93rd minute, he was put through, and he just tried to sort of cut it onto his right foot, and he just sort of flopped back to the keeper.
Well, that's
confidence, John.
He just
needs one to go in off his backside.
He does, which is odd when you're 1-on-1 with the goalie. The only way you could do it is he kicks it quite hard. It's Nick Pope. He turns around thinking it hasn't gone in. Comes off his backside and goes in.
So he has to kick it quite slowly. Because in my experience, and it is a different level of football, if I shoot, I keep facing that way to see what's happening.
The pros have got ways around
Of all the statistics about Theo Walcott, and the time between his last goal for Southampton and this one, I thought Duncan Alexander's tweet was good, where he said the gap between Theo Walcott's last two league goals for Southampton is 2.5 years longer than the Napoleonic Wars.
Which I think puts it into perspective, doesn't it? Too much, as they say in Spinal Tap. Too much. I can't finish that sentence, sadly. But it was a good game, that, though. It was very open, very exciting. Two teams going for it to an extent. And it was a kind of game of chess, but with some... you know, some good passages
sort of cancelled each other out,
didn't they,
Jeff?
I quite enjoyed it. I think they're two sides these days.
Two really good sides. I thought Southampton edged, you know, if Walcott gets that second, that does change
Which he should
have done. Did you, I don't know if you're following the Dubai Global Soccer Awards.
Oh, yeah, never missed.
The Dubai Globe Soccer Awards, including... Mm-hmm. And now it's
time for
the award for Agent of the Century. It's time for the award of Agent of the Century nominees 2001 to 2020. Giovanni Braccini, Jonathan Barnett, obviously Gareth Bale's agent. Mm. And then you've got the three big guns.
Yeah.
Pini Zahavi, Mino Raiola, and George Mendes.
Yeah.
I only have the nominees. I don't know.
Did Mino turn up? Did he buy a new tracksuit for the evening?
They're all in suits, except for Mino.
Who's in loungewear.
It's very
looking
much
like he's about to go to Tony Soprano's fridge and take some chicken parm out of it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Do you think that affects? It doesn't seem to affect the clients that he gets. If you were a young top footballer,
yeah,
and you walk into the office of Mendes, which obviously basically, do you want to live in Wolverhampton? I suppose is the next question. But he's in a sharp suit, and then you go to see. You say thanks very much. But I'm just going to check with Mino Raiola, and there he is, just sort of sitting in a pair of tracksuit trousers.
Well, if I'm one of his clients, it says to me that he's not spending all of... He doesn't make much out of me. Maybe it just, you know, he could afford a...
Do you think Raiola's only on like 0.5%? Is that what it is? Well, do we need to crowdfund for me?
Maybe he's had a bad press all these years. Now, you want to get the listeners working on something, which I would argue is quite niche. We're not expecting the phones to light up like it's a competition or something, but... this is off of the back of, was it Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Yeah, Ronnie O'Sullivan. Hmm. He said, Keith Richards watched me play. He said it was like seeing Mozart at work. That is the greatest compliment I've ever had. And I thought we could do the text subject. Has a rock star or a pop star of any musician?
Okay. Doesn't have to be somebody who played with Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow. It's broader than that. I said it was niche.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be heavy rock.
Okay.
Could be played on Virgin. That's the criteria.
Any music of a poppy or rocky or soul or R&B, do you include that? Rap?
No.
In the world of rap?
Not interested in R&B this year. Absolutely, of course. So I have one. I don't know if it's a compliment, but I used to live... Well, Ronnie Wood used to live opposite me.
Oh, nice. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was his only property, but it was his sort of central London affair. Hmm. And I'd won a cup. I think we'd won the Southern Amateur League Junior Novice Cup, and I was the captain, so I sort of had it in the... Took it home and had it in the car. Came out of the car. Outside my front door, Ronnie Wood's having a cigarette. And he's like, oh, what's that? And
Tommy Cooper.
Sean Dyche. It was Sean Dyche and Roy Hodgson.
I said, what's that? He said, it's a cup. I said, what? Yeah.
Is
that
what he did?
Ronnie Wood.
He had a fez on as well. Yeah. It was a weird day. Honestly, it was a strange really day.
Had you been drinking after the game?
I'd had a couple.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, can I hold it? So Ronnie Wood held the cup and lifted it aloft. And then he went, oh, well done. But that's more congratulatory than a compliment.
Well, I don't know. It's quite nice. He engaged with you, didn't he?
Possibly.
He instigated. Did you know Ronnie well enough? Was he on nodding terms with you?
I would say loose, sort of nodding, but not going out of my way to nod to Ronnie Wood. Trevor Nelson, on the other hand.
Oh, well, that's
a different story.
It's a different story, which does involve a microwave.
Tom says, Kylie Minogue complimented me on addressing her as Kylie Minogue when we met at a fashion store opening party in New York. She said, nobody ever calls me by my full name in America. We talked for a bit before she went off to talk to someone else who doubtless styled her just Kylie.
Or Minogue. Maybe it got a bit public school.
So Kylie Minogue, a bit like... There are some footballers who you have to use the full name. Solly March,
that's very true.
Has to be Solly March.
Yeah.
Has to be Muzzy, is it?
Yeah.
Has to be DJ Campbell.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe Kylie likes it that way. Cherise says, I met Stone Roses Manny when he was playing with Primal Scream after their gig in Manchester. He said, I really like your little green boots.
Really?
So, yeah, this is good.
Sounds like a song, doesn't it? I mean, what if he went back and... Yeah, it's good.
Liam says, backstage at a Cure gig in Sydney, 2000, I opened a bottle of wine for Robert Smith's parents, who duly thanked me.
That's a step away. It's a degree away, really.
It's not a compliment either.
No, it's not really,
and,
is it? No.
Graham says, Gary Sharon of Extreme fame, presumably the lead singer or part of Extreme. I don't know a lot. I'm more than words is all I know.
Their
back catalogue. Said I had a nice T-shirt on. Granted, the T-shirt had a picture of his face on it.
So, well, look, let's see. It might explode. It's rock stars, is it?
Rock people and pop in the world stars have, who have paid you a compliment.
Have paid you a compliment, much like Ronnie O'Sullivan. Talking of Ronnie, I'll tread delicately around this. We brought you news last week that Ronnie had... He had popped, basically, during a snooker tournament, rather loudly, and made quite an issue of it. And he thinks he's got to the bottom of it now, without any pun intended. He thinks the combo was coffee and pineapple.
Yes.
He thinks that was the noxious concoction.
I have a coffee, and I saw you eating some pineapple just before the show. So between us,
it could be
a terribly
and
fruity.
And you can't open the window in this studio.
Fruity in here for Adrian. Last week, on that subject, I wanted to do the text topic. Have you been in the presence of a footballer who's let one go? But the in the drive meeting, it was turned down as a subject.
Yeah, it's a bit low.
So save it for the weekend.
Save it for the weekend. Save it for the weekend. That's it. Charlie's probably got about 10 stories like that. Has Max become the John O'Shea of Talk Sports? Says Simon, the Arsenal fan. Can he do a job in any role? Is there a show you haven't done?
Hang on, I don't think I've ever done Kickoff.
You've never done seven till 10.
I've never done 7 till 10. I once did, Barry and I once did 10 till midnight on a Saturday.
Wow.
We were very upset that we agreed to do that. I think the text topic we did is, why are you listening to this? It seemed very strange. Not anybody doing that. Match of the day's on. What are you doing? I've never done Fisherman's Blues, which is obviously the Holy Grail.
That would be difficult.
Round peg square holes. He's got to go. What are they putting him there?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, now, if you were listening yesterday, you would have heard Cruyff or Binny. We went to some of those old player Q&As, the in-focus things that Shoot magazine used to do back in the day, and all the questions were effectively the same to every player. You know, biggest disappointment, you know, favourite this, favourite that, worst film, etc., etc., person you'd most like to meet. So that allowed us to look at two contrasting ones, one involving the late great Johan Cruyff, one of the greatest players of all time, and the former Brighton player Fred Binny. And it was Max's job to try and guess who gave which answer.
Absolutely.
And beef stroganoff is the one that Mama, because I said who said their favourite food was beef stroganoff, and Max quite rightly made that value judgment. He looked at the kind of very urbane Johan Cruyff, a well-travelled man, and he said, well, that's got Cruyff all over it, but it was Binny.
Absolutely.
You love the stroganoff.
Yeah, so anyway, it's time now for Paul to be the contestant. Welcome to Cruyff or Binny. My contestant today is Paul.
It's great to be
from
here,
North
mate.
London.
Yeah.
Have you had a nice day
I've had a lovely day. Everybody's been so nice.
Okay, that's really good. That's good to know. Well, anyway, today's game of Cruyff or Binny features Roger Gibbons, Norwich City, started at Spurs, went on to play 100 times for Cambridge.
Gibbons.
Gibbons. That should help if you know exactly how to spell it. 250 games for Cardiff, 49 times for the New England T-Men. He is up against Karl-Heinz Rummenigge of West Germany. If you want some more information, played for Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, won the European Championships of West Germany.
Familiar with his
Bundesliga,
work.
European Cup, scored in the World Cup final. Couple of Ballon d'Ors. Okay, so is it Roger Gibbons or is it Karl-Heinz Rummenigge? Easy one to start.
Okay.
Just to get you into the flow of things.
Yeah.
Whose best friends are, quote, my wife, some of the Bayern lads, notably Uli Hoeneß, Dernberger and Horsman? Is that Roger Gibbons or Karl-Heinz Rummenigge?
Wow.
Take your time.
Okay. Well, I think this is a bit like the £100 question in Millionaire. I'm going to have to go Karl-Heinz.
Is the correct answer.
Ooh, one. I think yesterday your score was 6-4 against.
Oh, 6-4 against.
I believe it finished 6-4 against. That's the error I do today.
Who drives a Triumph Dolomite? Is that Roger Gibbons or Karl-Heinz Rummenigge?
Well, okay, the Dolomite, sir. This what sort of era is this? Is this in the this about 1980?
I'm not here to give you extra questions.
Okay. We made this mistake yesterday because we had Cruyff in a Citroen, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Quite a nice Citroen, and it was the Audi of Fred Binny.
Yeah.
The Dolomite, I think, has got Gibbons written all over
it,
though.
Very 2 points.
It's a Triumph, isn't
well
it? Really.
Done,
I mean, I don't mean this game. I meant it was a British car. So
I haven't noted Carl
Charlie Hans the cabbie knows Roger's brother called Ray.
Oh, excellent news.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks,
bit
Charlie.
Bit of family knowledge.
Here we are.
If a question comes up involving brother Ray,
absolutely,
Charlie...
Whose brother Ray knows Charlie the cabbie?
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
Here we go. Best country visited. Who said Switzerland? Is that Roger Gibbons? Or is that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge?
Oh, that's devilish, isn't it? Because, you know, Roger, he could... You know, they didn't have planes in those days and he could have gone to Switzerland. Mm. But Karl-Heinz, I think, has got a bit of Mediterranean sun about him. I think he would have liked Spain or Greece. So I'm going to go Gibbons. That's again.
Three out of three.
Ooh,
Karl-Heinz went for the United States of America.
Oh, did he? Okay, fair enough.
Okay, here we go. Whose favourite food is fish?
Fish.
Well, is that Roger Gibbons or is of Norwich City, 49-time games for the New England team, or is it Karl-Heinz Rummenigge? Winner of the European Cup.
Well, that was an era when possibly a Norwich player would have roly-poly pudding and custard and suet, you know, plum duff and before kickoff at 10-3.
True.
So I think...
It's on the coast, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose that it is on the coast. Mm. I'd go a nice bit of Yarmouth place or something. I'm going to go Karl-Heinz, though. I think
it's
he liked...
correct answer. Yeah. 4 out of 4. Yeah. No wonder you came up with this game, because you've read all the... You wrote them all, didn't you?
I'm looking at the two men, even though I don't know what Roger looks like. I'm looking at the two men. Yeah. I'm just picturing what
really
they look
like. Impressive so far.
Hope you're playing along at home, folks. How are you getting on?
Okay, here's a tricky one. Whose biggest disappointment was, quote, when my Cocker Spaniel was run over and it died?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bit... It's a dark one.
I see a kind of stoicism in someone like Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. He'd be upset, but I think that's. I love dogs, so I'd say that's Roger. It's made me feel quite sad.
I'm sorry about that. It's Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
It's Karl. It obviously got to him in a way I didn't imagine.
Yeah. He was a ruthless German centre-forward, but he had a softer side.
Yeah,
Roger Gibbons's biggest disappointment was being let go on a free by Spurs. You've got four out of five so far.
Yeah, okay.
If you weren't a footballer, which one said, I'd be an interior decorator? Was that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge or Roger Gibbons?
There was a certain flourish about Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, I think. He was no nonsense, but I could see him sorting out the upholstery and drapes, choosing colours. I could see him turning up with a number of pattern books.
Okay.
Karl-Heinz.
Is the correct answer. Five out of six. If you weren't a footballer, what would you be? Roger Gibbons said, in trouble.
Good answer.
All right, here we go. Who would you most like to meet? Who said US President Jimmy Carter?
Okay. Right. Well, I don't know. Because Karl-Heinz likes the States, he maybe is into kind of Americana. But I just think, I don't know, Roger's answers have been fairly no-nonsense, and I think he might have said someone like Raquel Welsh or Alex Hurricane Higgins. So I'm going to go with Karl-Heinz again.
6 out of 7. Gibbons said, my future wife.
Oh, okay.
There we are.
Fair enough. He's a bit of a card, isn't he?
Whose miscellaneous dislikes were simply lies?
Wow.
Was that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge or was that Roger Gibbons?
There's a level of sort of profundity there that no disrespect, Roger, if you're listening, but the other answers have been good. They've been quite funny, but I think Karl-Heinz wouldn't like a liar. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
7 out of 8.
There we are.
So disappointed about the dog. Gibbons, Gibbons' miscellaneous dislikes were washing my car and Crossroads. Okay. Question 9. Whose personal ambition is to become independent through football?
Okay.
Is that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge or is that Roger Gibbons?
I think at this point Karl-Heinz knew that he wouldn't be working on the bins after his football career. So I'd say good old Rog gave us that answer.
That was Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
Really?
He's still saving his pennies at that time.
Winning the Ballon d'Or twice, he still think he'd take bar work in the evening.
Gibbons was to play for England, which he never managed. Whose biggest thrill is scoring goals? Is that Roger Gibbons or is that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge?
Biggest thrill. I think there's something quite British about that. I'm going to go Roger.
It is Roger. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge was beating St Etienne 1-0 in the 1976 European Cup final in Glasgow. This is from Full Frontal Comedy. It says, is this game a result of you broadcasting for 11 days in a row?
I think it's a kind of exercise in human nature, isn't it?
You're a better player than I am.
Well,
definitely.
I've got 8 out of 10. Mm. So, look, mate, we might do it again tomorrow to spite that caller.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Matt Rushton here on TalkSport. We're going to take you back to May 2003. Now.
Right.
Swansea City are playing Harlech at the Vetcher and they need to win this game to stay a league club. Of course, if they do, we now know, they go on to the heady heights of the Premier League. But it's all to play for on this day. I think it's 2-2 at the time. And let's pick up the commentary. It's a free kick coming in from a very familiar name.
That should be a free kick to Swansea. Martinez. Waits to deliver this important ball towards the far post. Scramble is there. Lenny John Rose. Swansea City dramatically have taken a 3-2 lead. Free kick by Martinez was always going to create problems. Bobbled around the box there. John Rose just with a touch with the left foot. The big man has proved to be such a good signing by Brian Flynn. That's the 50th of his league career. And who'll say that he's ever scored a more important one?
Yeah, there was one more to follow. Swansea stayed up and the rest Absolutely. Is history. Len John Rose has written his autobiography, not just about his career, but life since his diagnosis with motor neuron disease back in 2017. Len, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy memories, listening to get the old Belgian manager setting you up for a goal.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Very kind. I loved that goal, but great memories.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You say you look back on your career. It's you play. I mean, I imagine the Swansea fans. You've always got a special place in their heart. But of course, you're at Bury for a long time. I was watching the documentary about Bury last night, and I know that you went along to support the new club there that they're trying to put together. So it must be great when you go back and you feel the love of fans of clubs you've played for.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been really, really good. Obviously, it wasn't a great time for me by that MND, but all the sort of football family, if you like, have been absolutely amazing. So, yeah, it's great to go back.
I think what's striking, Lenny, about the book is all the interviews you've done since your diagnosis with motor neuron disease is your positive attitude. And it's sort of astounding how you've managed to stay so positive. Can you put your finger on why that is?
I don't really know. I think that my mum is a really, really strong character. She never had life easy at all. So I think it's a bit like that. But I really just don't worry about anything, really. If I can't change something, I don't worry about it. I've never really done that. So, whether that's positive or not, or whether I'm just looking, I don't know.
Is it that thing then of controlling the controllables? There's nothing you can do about this, so you're just going to make the very best of your life absolutely. And look at the positives.
Yeah absolutely. I agree with that. So, if I can't say something, I want more about it. I'll change myself. So, like I say, whether that's positive or whether I've just been born lucky, I don't know. But it works for me anyway.
Then we've spoken to Rob Burrow and to Doddy Weir
I'm sick of hearing about those two things.
Yeah. And I know Stephen Darby, you're working with as well, all of you, all fine sportsmen suffering with MND. And you've talked about the number of cases of MND among sports people. I'm just wondering whether, if you were armed with the knowledge that you felt there was more of a risk before you became a professional footballer, would you have still done it if you were given that choice again to go pro, knowing that there was a risk involved?
You know what? I've been asked that about a million times, and every time I've said the same thing. I would never, ever do that thing. I don't get a single thing that I've done in life. I think that if you don't do anything with an element of risk, they don't do anything at all. So, no, I would say nothing.
Chris says Lenny John Rose will always be a legend at Swansea for that third goal against Hull City. How did you find, you know, the process of writing the book? Did you find it like a very positive experience?
I've been asked over the years to write a book, and to be totally honest, I think that anyone would bother reading it. So I put it off for years, and then obviously, when I had to retire from work, I had a lot of time on my hands. So, it was quite almost sort of relaxing and invigorating to bear my soul, really. I would recommend everyone do that. It's a great thing to do, to look back on your life, the good things and the bad things. Cathartic, I would call it.
I think as well, and it's as I say, having spoken to Rob and to Doddy as well, it's both men, much as you are, and Stephen, shining a light on this terrible disease, and the fact that so many of the drugs that try to control it are just so old. There's not been a great deal of development with MND, is there? It seems incredible. There's so many medical advancements, and so many people still being diagnosed with MND, yet a lot of the treatments for it are sort of 20 odd years old.
Yeah, and most so. If you look about the last 24 hours where we found the vaccine for COVID, in like half a year, it's really quite frustrating with that 20, 30 years down the line, but still no close to really to find out for MND. But like you mentioned, Rob and Dolly and Stephen will all keep banging that drum. And hopefully one day, maybe it might be too late for us, but hopefully one day we'll get there where they give other people a little bit of hope.
Well, then, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks for the memories, and it was a great football career. And I hope that, but if to say the Swansea fans have been getting in touch, as Max just said, it was a great
Burnley
career.
Burnley fans as well, yeah.
Yeah, Burnley fans, of course. And so, you know, keep doing what you're doing, keep being positive, and hope people go out and buy the book. And Premier League football players may find you're part of Project 92. You go and speak to the clubs around the country, don't you? So you may be in front of some people who are listening this afternoon, talking to them about MND.
I hope so. Thank you very much indeed.
Take care. Cheers, Len.
Thank you. Bye.
Len John Rose there. Finding a Way is Len's book. It's published by Matador. It's out in paperback now. And yes, it's a powerful read. He is an incredible bloke, isn't he? When you read Harry's kept so positive, he talks about he said I've not had a bad day in the past 2 years. I always find something good to come out of every
true.
Day.
I think when you sort of you hear those things about positivity and it sort of sounds a bit like a cliche. Yeah. You think I don't understand how it could be possible. But you know the bravery that he's shown, and to still be doing things and still be out there, and it's a, like from what I haven't read all the book yet, but from the stuff I've read, it just comes across with like amazing positivity. David said, "There's only one Lenny John Rose, loved by Bury fans. Got a great and emotional reception when he walked the side out of Gig Lane with his kids just before we were expelled in 2019. Once a shaker, always a shaker." He says,
"The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport."
Joe Parton had a bit of a loose end on Sunday, and he sent out this tweet on Sunday evening. He said, I don't know how your Sunday's gone, but I've spent mine making football shirts for every UK supermarket, brackets, a thread. And then it followed on shirts designed using a little kind of shirt design package, I guess, because they're beautifully done. Home and away shirts for, I mean, they're all going to get mentioned, and others are available, but not many, because I think I'm going to mention them all. The Tesco's, as Brian Marr would say, the Tesco's, Sainsbury's and Asda's of this world.
Absolutely.
Everybody got covered. And I think it's fair to say since then, it's exploded to the point where Joe took himself off of social media because he'd had enough of it. But he's thankfully agreed to chat to us. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, gents. Yeah, I think I wasn't really expecting to be speaking to you today at all, but it's an absolute pleasure to do so.
Yeah, it's what a bizarre thing, though. Just sort of filling in a bit of your time. Thought, you know, I'll share that with a couple of mates and a few of my followers and see what they think. You're going to get loads of feedback. All of the supermarkets you did shirts for have come back to you. I'm sure there's hampers in the post. You couldn't have believed it, could you?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, it all started really, we're all missing football, aren't we? And I certainly am. It was another weekend without football for me. I'd actually, funnily enough, I've just moved house. I was sorting out my wardrobe and I recently worked for Tesco. I was putting my uniform away that I've still got. And I thought, I wonder what this would look like as a football shirt, because that's how mental I've gone. And so I did the home shirt as a carrier bag. And then I thought, I wonder if their away shirt would be based on the high vis that I still own. I did Tesco, and then I thought, stuff it, I'm just going to carry on.
I mean, the Tesco bag, the Tesco kit speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's blue stripes.
It's bright.
Blue and white.
It's a Brighton. Remember, there was that Brighton fear. But the away shirt, you've said you've done it like the high-vis jacket, but some nice detail. And you've got the every little helps and the big... I mean, it's the detail, which I think, that makes these.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I sort of did a bit of branding work. I Googled, you know, what their bags look like, what their staff uniform looks like. and football kits have always been a real passion of mine. I was one of those kids that sit at the back of the class, you know, sketching out football shirts. And here I am on a spare Sunday, age 27, using a wonderful web designer, football web designer, which I have to mention, by the way, it's Swaz. Andy Notman has a company, Swaz Shirts. I had a look at a few different football kit designers. You said it at the start. I mean, I couldn't have done this without that brilliant kit designer. So thank you very much to Andy for providing that. And I thought I'd stop at 10 because I thought that was quite a nice top flight of 10 teams.
Super League, a supermarket super league, really, isn't it?
A supermarket super league, yeah, absolutely.
How long did it take you?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I imagine I was sat at my computer for a couple of hours. To be honest, once I'd done the first couple, I sort of got into the zone a little bit and started having a little bit of fun with it. I saved Aldi till last. Aldi's got a very special place in my heart, so I thought I'd make sure I knew how to use the system before attempting theirs. And that's proved to be the most popular, which I'm very happy about.
Aldi Away is a beautiful kit. It's it's
lots of chevrons, isn't it?
It's straight from the middle aisle, as you put it. It's lovely. I do quite like M&S Away. That's a nice kit with based on the sort of Percy Pigs.
Yeah.
With the pink kind of bleed on it into sort of stripes. That was nicely done. Is there a poll out there? You said Aldi has been the most popular, but what are the other ones that people have really liked?
I did post a poll. I'm just trying to find it now. Aldi Away is winning. That's really won the hearts of the nation, I think. Aldi Away. the ones that were more popular than I thought were Waitrose. With Waitrose, I sort of tried to go for a refined and potentially a little bit boring sort of design. I wanted the more leery designs to go to the more fun supermarkets, if I'm honest. Certainly the Waitrose Away kit, which is basically based off the Waitrose logo and the lines and the different colours.
Yeah, the white away shirt is the bag for is a sort of bag for life. The Waitrose
bag
for life, isn't it? I don't know
Waitrose bag for life.
Joe, as an expert in this field, what are the rules? Because sort of growing up, I was sort of my parents tried to foist Sainsbury's on me, but
you know, I don't see that as a foist.
I don't see Sainsbury's as a foist.
Waitrose are now my local club, you see, and I support my local club. So like, they're just down the road. Am I allowed to switch allegiances, or is that frowned upon?
You should support your local club. Yeah. I think.
What's yours?
Our local club are wearing the Brighton kit. That's what we generally. We get behind the lads.
I get behind the you know, Bunhill Road Sainsbury's Waitrose. They never let me down, to be honest.
No. So I mean, say the supermarkets have reached out and they've all had a sense of humour. No one said cease and desist, have they? I mean, it's good marketing from their point of view, but it's where's this going, Joe? I know you do a fine football podcast, don't you? But is this going to lead elsewhere, you think?
Thank you very much. You've shouted my podcast out without me having to do it. Yeah, we found a game on Spotify or Apple. Me and my good friend Dan Studley have done a podcast during lockdown to try and keep people entertained. There's a new episode coming out this evening, in fact. So please head there. We've also got an Instagram, We Found a Game, where we normally, in normal times, post all the football we go to. At the moment, we're going through a bit of a back catalogue because we've got nothing to go to. Where's it going? I am shocked at the popularity. And what I'm particularly shocked by, if you read through the comment, is the amount of people saying they'd buy one, which has completely baffled me. So I mean I certainly don't want to make anything out of this, but that wasn't my interest. But wouldn't it be brilliant if some of these were on the shelves and maybe being sold for charity, something like that? So I've got no idea where to go from this, but I've contacted the supermarkets. I would appreciate any help, any ideas that people have. I'd love to support a good cause. And I think, you know, imagine rocking up to five-a-side in an Aldi away shirt.
That is the football hipster. I mean, that goes beyond.
It would.
You know, yeah.
Doug in Aberdeen, with the eye for a few quid, has gone for the vintage market. He likes vintage. He wants to see Safeway, Quick Save, Presto, Woolworths.
We'd like to see Woolies.
Great to have a Woolies shirt, wouldn't it?
A few of the now defunct supermarkets, I wonder how AFC Woolworths, the Phoenix Club, are getting on.
You're the man. If anybody's going to bring it to AFC Woolworths.
And people forget the lower leagues now. You know, your Nisa Local, your Budgeons, you know, they've been forgotten about.
Get back to that computer, Joe.
That's it. Well, at the end of the thread, I said anyone up for a Division 2, and there's been plenty of people suggesting. To be honest, I live in the south of England. There's a couple of supermarkets I've not heard of, so I'm going to have to do a bit of research. But I'd love to give some of the smaller... I'm a big fan of non-league football, so I feel like I should be a fan of non-league supermarkets as well. So I'd love to give a few of the smaller ones. But I've inspired lots. There's people doing chocolate bars, fast food outlets, social media sites. So it's been up to us to seem to have started a bit of a trend.
You've created a monster. Well done, Joe. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, pal.
Thank you so much, gents. Bye-bye.
Joe Parton there. We Found a Game is his podcast. J.K. Parton, P-A-R-T-O-N 93. J.K. Parton, that's at 93 on Twitter if you want to go and check out all those shirts if you haven't seen them yet, which I'll be surprised at. Hawksby and Rushton here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton. Max in for Andy once again this afternoon. Coming up in the next hour of the show, Tim Southwell from Golf Punk for many, many years. The co-launch editor of Loaded back in the day. Tim has gone into the comic business.
Yeah, I enjoyed the comic.
Yeah, it's
I don't
good,
think I picked up a comic in 30 years.
Bit different, isn't it? Yeah, you were very much a Beano man like me, weren't you?
Beano or Dandy.
Well,
you can't be both.
You couldn't be both. No. You made a choice. Absolutely. I don't know how that choice came about, but I was a bit like you. I was a bit of a Beano man.
I didn't like Desperate Dan, but I can't remember who was on the back of the Dandy. I never opened it, obviously. I wasn't going to sully myself with that rubbish.
You'd never pick it up.
And I sort of thought Rasher the Pig was my favourite of the Beano characters.
Our old mate Crackers over in the Canary Islands, he wants to set up a European Super League of shirts from the supermarkets.
Oh, yeah.
And Mercadona, he says, we need all these designs doing Hippo Dino, Super Dino, Carrefour.
And Carrefour.
Remember Carrefour, yeah.
A Carrefour service station in France. Honestly, the food there is good, better than those restaurants that Alan goes on about.
Are you making the point that the French are quite good at cooking?
But in a service station, you think.
Breaking news.
Even a coffee, it's good.
You don't get that at Kay's Country Kitchen, do you, on the M3?
You absolutely
Trowell Services, much beloved of our producer and Charlie Baker, of course. Although I'm sure they knock out a fine burger for you.
Well, I suppose Walmart would be a big in the kit world. If you want to make your money, make a Walmart.
Walmart. The Target. The American market would be, you're going to sell more shirts. Right. Who was that one in, when you used to go to France as a kid? Felix Potin, remember that?
I don't remember those. Felix Potin.
Felix Potin had a number of shirts back in the, shops back in the 70s, isn't he? Maybe he still has.
Have you seen... Deli.
Wine for £1.10 a bottle. Yeah. It's fantastic.
You've seen Dele Alli's catch.
Yeah.
You saw it on social media, didn't you?
Yeah, Dele Alli is... boys were playing cricket in the gym, weren't they?
So I think, right, I think it's Harvey White is batting.
Okay.
He was a young... He was a cricketer as well as a footballer. One of those multi-talented.
Mm-hmm.
White, and I think it might be, and someone can correct me, some people were saying it was Oliver Skipp, but I think it might be Jack Clark, you know, the winger they got from Leeds.
Yeah, from Leeds,
so it's White, bold Clark, caught Alli, I think for about 14. Eric Dyer is keeping. He's a long way back to an off-spinner, if I'm honest.
Really?
You know, he should be standing up, I think, but he has got the gloves on.
Is he giving Jack Clark some verbals?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think Bale's in the cordon is Gareth Bale.
Oh, okay.
And then Joe Hart's at mid-off. Ben Davis is a sort of
Well, it is the England and Wales cricket board,
quite a narrow mid-wicket. He's quite close to Dele Alli, obviously.
Yeah.
And Harry Kane is sort of long on.
Yeah, but he'd do some ludicrous Ben Stokes-like catch, wouldn't he, behind his head with one hand.
But Dele Alli flicks this ball up. It's quite a good strike. It's a proper on-drive from the
drills
lad.
It,
and
he
flicks it up with his right foot, which gives me... I watched that clip and I thought, I think Dele Alli might get back in the Spurs
team. Well, if that doesn't get him back in, if Jose's been watching that... I mean, talking of Jose, Sergio Reguilón, the Spurs left-back, he's pictured with Jose Mourinho, and he's got their arm around each other, and Jose is saying, apparently it's on his Instagram, he says, a bet is a bet, and here it is. And it what looks like a 500, it's cost him £500 sterling, a big Iberico ham, one of those, it's basically an animal's leg. And they've both taken a slice off, and they're both having a little slice in the picture, but apparently the bet was... he said to Sergio, if we beat City, I'll buy you a £500 Iberico ham.
It's not that Reguilón's on a ham bonus.
He's on a...
Like, I don't know who is.
Other cured meats.
It
depends on the quality. If you're a younger player, you'll be on a Hazlitt bonus, quite possibly. Or that spam with the egg in the middle.
It's a really disappointing one, isn't it?
It would be.
Absolutely right. Or the really, you know, you get like the really thin wafer ham.
Yeah,
that's sort of League Two type bonus, I think.
Wonder what sort of ham the Parma players used to pick up in the day. Maybe we'll never know.
Now, this was in the Daily Star today.
Well, it must be true.
Well,
then.
If you could bring it back to sport, that would be highly recommended. Mm. Sir Elton John threw fruit at folk rocker Bob Dylan in a furious bust-up over charades.
That was almost a tongue twister you were getting into then.
Effed off, Elton.
Yeah.
Is that too fruity for this? I think it goes all right at the weekend.
It might be.
You set the rules on this show.
Okay.
I do apologise. It's like the comments of Alan Parry. If you apologise for any swearing you may have heard, because there are no fans
it's
in the studio.
Almost in slightly industrial language in a completely silent stadium at 5 o'clock in the evening when someone hasn't got a throw in they wanted.
Exactly. Who was it? Who was that?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah,
Kevin De Bruyne
great,
having a go at Darren Cairn, the Lino,
really
the
good.
Other day. I think he was politely asking him to say, "Could you possibly move those Tottenham players back 10 yards, Darren, if you don't mind?"
Can't wait for a commentator to just go, "Come on, we've all heard swearing," and then they're just joining as well.
Yeah.
Just say, maybe that's what they could do for the Monday 5:30 game. I know it's before the watershed, but we know it's going to be a bad game of football, so the commentators are allowed to swear as much as the players. Just have it a bit like...
That would be it really would be, wouldn't it? If you could just... we brought back maybe John Sitton on the co-coms.
Nobody wanted to watch...
For the evening.
Nobody wanted to watch Burnley Palace, but suddenly if you had Sitton... And, you know, a couple of
somebody,
others.
Really, I'm trying to think. Somebody who's in... Roy Chubby Brown and John Sitton.
I thought about Roy,
Chubby?
But, you know, I'm not sure I want to go that far down the...
Oh, OK, fair enough. But that's quality. Yeah. That's swearing as an art form, I think you'll find.
Right.
It's not just swearing for swearing.
I think we might be onto something.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Elton
launched tangerines at Dylan for failing to guess his clues during
that's
the game.
Something
in
from
Los
Stella
Angeles.
Street, isn't it? Really,
friends were stunned when he lost it at the legendary American singer-songwriter who penned the hit "Mr. Tambourine Man." If Casey didn't know,
yeah,
that's for announcing who
was it.
Bob
a clementine
Dylan is.
Or was it a nectarine?
I don't know. Elton, 73, said he was playing charades with Dylan at Neil Diamond's house. Bob was on my team and I'm very competitive. And Bob is the greatest lyricist. Fantastic to throw words together that no one else can, but cannot do sounds like with two syllables. There we are.
Bob is also responsible for one of the great Christmas songs. And I know it's a song that divides people. Have you heard Bob's Christmas song, Must Be Santa?
Have you ever heard it? I don't think so.
It's a sensation. It's not a particularly well-known Christmas song, but it's become a bit of a family favourite. But I know people who absolutely hate it. Oh. Maybe the producer can find it for us and we'll bring it to you out of the next break. Can we find... I mean, don't look at me. He's kind of shrugging his shoulders. It's like...
He's down tools, isn't he? No Jacobs, and he just downs
that,
tools, doesn't
look
he?
Look upon that as a request, as opposed to... I mean, he just sort of went, yeah, I might not. You know, this comic's not going to get read by itself. Well,
we noticed...
Yes, Andy. Sorry, Matt.
I aspire to be. What's the point? What's the point? Waste of ink.
I knew there was someone sitting next to me on my right. I just couldn't work out who it was.
You know, on Times Radio, they were doing Should we stop messing with the moon?
What was 1:15, that's right. So Mariella was doing, should we just leave the moon alone?
Should we leave the moon alone?
Yeah.
Well, this is in the Star. A GP claims he owns Mars because he fires a laser at the planet from his back garden.
Wow.
Dr. Phil Davis spends his evening pointing a beam at the red planet in a quest for planetary ownership. He says that due to current space laws, he can stake an ownership claim on the Martian territory. He's guarding it from the Russians.
Wow.
There you are.
So we should get him on.
Stuck into
tomorrow.
We should
get him on and just... Trump Times Radio with that one. Take it on a stage.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's pretty much all I've got, unless you want to... Who are the sweariest profession in the country?
The sweariest profession?
Yeah.
I've got a great story about it, but I couldn't possibly tell that even in the sports bar. It's the repetition of one swear word, but used in lots of different ways to form a sentence. It's a work of art in itself. Maybe I could do the commentary for Monday Night Football.
Dave Bassett. Yeah. Dave Bassett doesn't draw breath, does he, when he talks?
Oh, no,
and
Dave,
it never
no,
stops.
No.
But we did fantasy football on Sky in the green room. I've never heard a man F and Jeff much. And I thought, on air, we're going to have a problem here, but good as gold.
A legend in the world of football from Scottish football apparently was Archie Knox. One Scottish footballer who played under him said he could swear for 10 minutes without repeating himself, which is an art, isn't it? Really?
Anyway, do you want to know who the most potty mouth...
I don't think I've got time. I mean, go on then. Now, tell me who the most potty mouth... let's see, what part of the country or profession?
Profession.
Builders.
Accountants.
Oh, what about that?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Well, okay. There you go. It was worth coming, wasn't it?
It was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again tomorrow from 1. Andy may be with us. I don't know as yet. But if not, Max, you will be back in the chair.
If selected, happy to play for the club. Do work, just play where I'm put. It would be day 12 in a row. Is that too much? It's who knows?
What a great servant he is to this show. Anyway, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.